Gone are my blues and gone are my tears. I've got good news to shout in your ears. The long lost dollar has come back to the fold. With silver you can turn your dreams to gold. Oh, we're in the money, we're in the money. We've got a lot of what it takes to get along. Oh, we're in the money, the sky is sunny. Oh man, depression, you are through, you done us wrong. Oh, we never see headline about red line today. And when we see the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye. Oh, we're in the money, come on, my honey. Let's lend it, bend it, send it rolling around.
Oh boy, we're in the money, I said we're in the money. We got a lot of what it takes to get along. And so we're in the money, look up, the skies are sunny. Oh man, depression, you are through, you've done us wrong. We never see a headline about red lines today. And when we see the landlord, we can look that guy right in the eye. We're in the money.
That song goes haywire. We're in the money. We can only wish good afternoon, good evening, good morning, depending on what part of the world you're in. Welcome to a Tuesday installment, Perspectives on America. I'm your host, Jeffrey Bennett, for the next 2 hours. Stick around. It's going to be kind of an interesting program today. Especially the second hour. I look over the insanity. Well, before we get started, let me share something with you. For those who may be aware, for the last roughly week, maybe a little longer, we've had major problems with two of our email addresses. My personal email, jbennett216@cox.net. The key here is Cox, COX.net. And the second one is one that is extremely important to two of our websites, federalobserver.com and Sierra Madre Precious Metals. That website is Kettle Moraine LTD at Cox.net. Cox is a very large internet provider throughout the country, made a decision to sell their entire email program, and they sold it to Yahoo. It has been an absolute nightmare. Cox would send me instructions on what to do, as they did millions of other people around the country. It turned out to be an absolute nightmare. I had my technician here last week. We were able to somewhat get the J. Bennett 216 program working in a very uncomfortable way and manner. But Kettle Moraine seemed to be a dead issue. We could not get it functioning. My technician has been working with a massive number of people, and we finally have been able to get some things worked out. As of today, both of those emails are functioning. They've not changed to a yahoo.net or .com. It still remains the same existing email address we've got published on our websites. And but it finally got corrected here about 3 hours ago. I'm going to tell you the stress that this has caused me over this last week plus has been simply amazing. I've had to inform writers, authors, etc., that they needed to submit anything that they wanted published to two unrelated email addresses, but specifically victory@drkelly.net or over to which is short for education, edu@metropolis.cafe. And thank God we finally got this thing ironed out. I have one computer that all of my computers are Macs, and I have one computer, although only one of those Macs do I have all my email stuff on. I have a PC computer that is, I think, an old Toshiba. It could be an HP. I can't remember. And while he was here, I was able to get him to get these two emails functioning on that computer. That was a nightmare in a lot of respects because the laptop is very outdated. I don't really care to update it, but I'm going to probably have no choice but to update it to a Windows 11. So I'm giving some consideration to possibly just getting rid of that computer and replacing it with a Mac laptop. I don't travel that much, but when I do, I've got to have access at least to those particular email addresses. What a nightmare. And so now we come back to work and we decide to talk to you a little bit about our marvelous Federal Reserve Chairman, Jerome Powell, not so well. And that's what I call him. Not Powell. Powell, not so well. In June of 2022, when inflation was raging at over 9% in the U.S., Chairman Powell, not so well, admitted to a reporter that we now understand better how little we understand about inflation. And the reporter chuckled, that's not very reassuring. Talk about an understatement, my friends. The Fed chairman has the power to control virtually everything in the economy. He can conjure trillions of dollars out of thin air, practically at will. He can raise and lower interest rates, push businesses and governments into bankruptcy, and cause people to lose their jobs. And yet he flat out admitted they didn't have a clue about inflation. Of course, nearly everyone else on the planet, you know, normal people who go grocery shopping, rent their homes, fill up their gas tanks, well, we can all feel the sting of inflation back then as they still do today. They may not understand where inflation comes from, but they understand the profound effect it is having on, well, my friends, our standard of living. Many people are working harder than ever, juggling multiple jobs, and yet struggling to afford basic necessities they once took for granted. It's interesting. I read a piece late this morning about an 85-year-old woman who decided to go back to work. She was given an award with the company of being this unbelievably top-rated employee because of her knowledge, her abilities, her sharpness, her intelligence. But she was getting paid some $86,000 a year, and they decided that they couldn't afford her, so they fired her. Oh, God. Well, so the Fed doesn't understand these kind of realities, huh? You know, just like politicians with decades of experience, central bankers live on a completely different planet than the rest of us. A place where out-of-touch so-called experts are disconnected from the real world. And they come up with idiotic theories that are consistently wrong. Remember when inflation was supposedly transitory? Or when 2 days before Silicon Valley Bank went bust, the Fed chairman told Congress that they saw absolutely no consequences from their interest rate hikes. My friends, these people have been wrong at every single turn. And the latest episode is stagflation, which the Fed chairman outright dismissed recently. "Oh, I don't see the stag or the flation," he said, seemingly quite pleased at how witty he sounded. Let me tell you, his conclusion is nuts. Stagflation is hitting him squarely between the eyes, and yet he still doesn't see it. The stag data is everywhere. Even the government's official numbers on the U.S. economy recently showed GDP growth coming to a screeching halt. New hires are down at the lowest level in 8 years, and by some metrics, in 11 years. Productivity growth last year was an anemic 1.3%, and the list goes on and on and on. And the fact that the Fed chairman doesn't see deflation or inflation is just intellectually dishonest. Even the chairman himself has admitted over the past few weeks that inflation remains too high. Well, wait a minute. Both statements cannot be true at the same time, except in the mind of a central banker. It's noteworthy that last week the chairman completely ruled out raising interest rates. There will be no rate hikes, period. Raising interest rates is what a central bank is supposed to do when facing obvious inflation, but they've taken that option off the table, entirely abandoning their responsibility to keep prices under control. But just like they didn't understand inflation, it's clear the Fed doesn't understand stagflation either. Economists will tell us that stagflation is the combination of higher inflation and lower economic output, usually inflation combined with a recession. Well, that's what happened quite famously in the 1970s. But while economists and central bankers define inflation based on econometric data, that is usually incorrect anyway, the average person recognizes stagflation in a different way. Simply a decline in our standard of living means that we're worse off because the economy just plain sucks. Stagflation is uneven. It doesn't hit all people in all places at the same time. Politicians and central bankers, for example, are immune to the effects of stagflation because they rarely lose their jobs and have outrageously good benefits. But the average person, folks like you and I, we're worse off today when compared to the last several years. It's not a complex calculus at all. And yet the Fed just doesn't get it. No, they've continued to talk up how great the U.S. economy is, which is probably not how the average person feels. In fact, the Fed doesn't even understand what's been the key driver of the U.S. economy over the past few years. And that happens to be government deficit spending. The U.S. government has been shoveling money into the U.S. economy hand over fist and going deeper into debt in the process. And clearly this is going to drive some economic growth. But the government isn't even getting a 1-to-1 return on that deficit spending. But that's not just deficit spending. What about all the money they're sending overseas to wars? God knows what else. Think about it. Last year's federal government budget deficit was about $2 trillion, but even before factoring in inflation, the U.S. economy only increased by about $1.5 trillion. You'd think that if the government spent an extra $2 trillion, that the U.S. economy would see at least $2 trillion in extra growth, but oh no. The economy grew $1.5 trillion versus a $2 trillion deficit, all of which was funded by increasing the national debt. My friends, the level of incompetence is mind-blowing. Oh, there's plenty of other signs the economy's starting to lag. Recently, Starbucks reported dismal earnings. No surprise there. People started tightening their belts. Small luxuries like $6 coffees are the first thing to go because they got to plow that money into the gas tank, their electric bill, their weekly grocery trip. This is stagflation. A small decline in the standard of living. The economy sputters. Prices go up. Wages don't keep pace. And yet the Fed doesn't see it. They don't understand stagflation. They don't understand inflation. They don't understand the catastrophic growth trend of the U.S. national debt. They don't even understand the risks to the U.S. dollar and the coming loss of its status as the dominant global reserve currency. And they don't understand that they don't understand. They're so damned out of touch that they still believe that they have the situation under control. I don't know about you, but you know it's pretty scary that the most powerful people in the U.S. economy don't have a clue. Maybe there's something we can do about it, though, individually. Every economic decision that policymakers, whether the president or Congress or central banks, have ever made or will ever make in the future is ultimately reflected in the currency. If Congress runs up the debt, if the president passes a host of idiotic, productivity-killing executive orders, if the Fed launches quantitative easing to infinity and beyond, the consequences will ultimately be reflected in the U.S. dollar. All of this could be a range of consequences, from a decline in purchasing power, that's inflation, to loss of reserve status in global trade. Either way, if you don't want to suffer those consequences, there is a simple solution. Don't hold all of your savings in that currency, in this nation's currency. Consider other options, including, in my opinion, one of the world's oldest forms of money that has a 5,000-year-plus track record of value and marketability. And that, my friend, is gold. It's that simple. If I can be of assistance, do give me a call. 602-799-8214. 602-799-8214. If you go to Sierra Madre Precious Metals, you can scroll down on the right-hand column, and you will come across Kettle Moraine's address and our email, kettlemoraineltd@cox.net. Click on it. Send me a note that you'd like to talk. We'll see what can be done. And that is a good portion of what I've spent the day doing for a number of people. Some folks who are not commonly regular clients, but they have purchased from us before. And out of the clear blue, I start getting calls. People are nervous. They're fed up. And so there's this mentality of bring back gold. In these days of rampant inflation, it's imperative that we return to the gold standard, and the real thing, too, by the way. And by this, I mean the classical gold standard, not the so-called gold exchange standard. And with no fractional reserve banking, just as the great Murray Rothbard had one time wanted. We're going to be talking about this at length during the next hour. Hope you'll stay with us. It's pretty intense. Saw an article. I have a strange sense of humor, as many of you know. The article was entitled, "The Future for Fiat." The day of reckoning for unproductive credit is in sight. The G7 national finances are spiraling out of control. Debt traps are being sprung on all of them, with the sole exception of Germany. Malinvestments of the last 50 years are being exposed by the rise in interest rates, increases which are driven by a combination of declining faith in the value of major currencies and contracting bank credit. And the rise in interest rates is becoming unstoppable, not just in this country, but all over the world. Don't be surprised to see a U.S. government deficit exceeding $3 trillion this year, half of which will be interest rates. And in the run-up to a presidential election, there is every sign of deficit spending increasing even further. The end for the dollar, my friends, is nigh. Now, the title of that column is The Future for Fiat. Well, you know my sick, warped, twisted sense of humor. I decided to go online looking for a picture of Fiat. The automobile. I posted that picture with this headline on Sierra Madre with a guy standing next to an old Fiat car. Except that I put the term underneath it, no, not that kind. I got to get a few laughs out of this stuff once in a while. Gold prices, we're looking at another 29% upside as China's central bank continues its buying spree. Gold prices are set to continue their record bull run to $3,000 per ounce or more. That according to one David Rosenberg, who highlighted a buying spree from China's central bank as one reason why prices will continue to rise. He said the Federal Reserve's upcoming easing cycle should also boost gold prices. I'm not going to spend a whole hour talking about gold. There's other things. Federal money for migrant services is on hold. This is kind of an interesting one. There's a group in California called Jewish Family Service, which says it helped 200,000 migrants in transit through San Diego County since 2018, providing them with temporary shelter, meals, transportation to their final destinations across the U.S. 200,000 migrants? You mean illegal invaders, don't you? Well, the Jewish Family Service have been doing all of this with money given by donors, other benefactors, including the federal government. County of San Diego also funded a separate migrant welcome center that another local nonprofit operated for 4 months beginning in November of 2023. But when county funding ran out in late February, Jewish Family Service says it did not stop aiding asylum seekers. But then, let's face it, my friends, Joe Biden will just keep giving it away. After all, it is an election year. He wants illegals to improperly cast their vote for him anyway. Well, there's another issue that's ticked me off. I've talked about this intensely. Canceling student debt may be legal, but my friends, it's theft. We sit there on a almost a $35 trillion national debt. Joe Biden is planning on canceling some or all of the $158 billion of student debt of an estimated 30 million people. It may be good politics for the Democratic Party, but the debt cancellation is unfair to most Americans. And why? Well, it's unconstitutional because it's being done by executive order rather than congressional action. The Supreme Court's going to have to make that final decision, but even if the court determines that student debt cancellation is legal, it will still be unfair since it treats the rest of us Americans in similar situations quite differently. And you and I and our children and our grandchildren and in many cases our great-grandchildren are going to spend their entire lives paying that bill. It's sickening. It's unreal. Some more bank horror stories. Oh, it's getting interesting. Chase Bank user says that she knows not to click links, but she still watched as $49,000 was wiped out of her account in minutes. This couple was left in despair after being swindled out of $49,000 in less than 30 minutes. Gloria and Gary Moss's life savings were taken, even though they did not click the link on a text that looked like it had come from their bank. People, be careful with your emails. There is more crap coming through. It's unbelievable. Gloria revealed the person on the other end of the line sounded legitimate, but they were impersonating representatives from Chase Bank. This stuff is happening all the time. I've gotten to the point I recognize this stuff so quickly. FDIC insured bank seized by regulators. First U.S. bank failure of 2024. Republic First Bank, a financial institution based out of Philadelphia, seized, closed by state and federal regulators last week. And the bank reportedly faced mounting financial difficulties due to a decrease in the number of deposits it received in its mortgage lending. And they were seeking funds to continue its operation, but a deal that would have provided it with $35 million fell through earlier this year. The bank had 32 branches located throughout Pennsylvania and Jersey and New York, considered high risk due to its inability to secure funding. They shut down. It goes on and on and on. Oh, and there's some proposed changes to Medicare and Medicaid, which could cost thousands of lives. Yeah, recent proposals to reduce program costs include a recommendation to raise the eligibility age for Medicare from 65 to 67. That was put forward by a 2022 report from the House of Representatives Republican Study Committee, a proposed work requirement for Medicaid coverage, a recurring congressional consideration during federal budget negotiations. And while none of these have yet been adopted, one major change to Medicaid is already underway. A provision authorized at the start of the COVID-19 pandemic that required states to keep existing Medicaid recipients enrolled in the program expired last year. And since then, states have been disenrolling Medicaid recipients who no longer qualify or are unable to complete the renewal process. How many of you may have been affected by that? Think about it. And these kind of changes are going to drive up the number of uninsured people in this country. And it all gets worse and worse and worse. Our economy is barreling towards stagflation, and it's an outcome worse than recession. The latest GDP and inflation readings were what investors were least eager to see. Could all hint at serious trouble ahead. And this was the worst of both worlds report, slower than expected growth, higher than expected inflation. First quarter growth fell well behind estimates, rising at an annualized rate of 1.6%, that according to the Bureau of Economic Analysis. You know, I could sit there going on and on and on with this stuff. And a lot of it, I think, in a roundabout way, last Thursday, then we did this two-hour series on this lecture given in 1967 by Myron Fagan, explains so much, so damn much. I could not even complete the entire lecture that he gave. And so I referred you folks to go to read the article, which is on federalobserver.com. You begin to fully understand exactly why this nation is in the trouble it's in, because it's the game plan. It's what they had in mind. Fagan, the Illuminati and the Council on Foreign Relations. It is an extremely intense read. But you can listen to the video at the bottom of the column. We'll be back in a couple minutes.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Charles de Gaulle once said, actually, it's difficult to envision in this regard any other criterion, any other standard than gold. Yes, gold, which does not change in nature, which can be made into either bars, ingots, or coins, which has no nationality, and which is considered in all places and all times the immutable and fiduciary value par excellence. So when the question is, why gold? It's simple, my friends. The answer to that question is simply, why not? Like it or not, precious metals will always be the world's reserve currency. Even though nations do not define their currency by their worth in, say, gold, individuals still buy gold and silver to protect themselves from inflation. The more money a nation's central bank pours into the economy, the less value its currency, the dollar is, which means the price of everything else rises. $21 up for a bag of dog food. Seeing that the dollar is cheap, that's why the cost of everything goes up. It's because the buying power, the value of the dollar has tanked. It's worth nothing. And yet gold that your family would have owned in 1907 will buy at least the same amount of goods, if not far more. William McPhee once stated, it's extraordinary how many emotional storms one may weather in safety if one is ballasted with ever so little gold. The truth about money, gold versus cash in a crisis, gold, a valuable thing to store, the power of gold in times of crisis. Historical sketch of paper currency. Oh, and beware the ides of rare coin dealers. And Alan Greenspan's speech on gold and economic freedom. How interesting. I'm going to give you gold and silver in 5 easy lessons. Seeking out the most efficient and most secure route to owning gold and converting it into widely accepted currency is the next best thing to enjoying gold-backed currency, my friends. In a world of central bankers hell-bent on devaluing our savings, you need to own private gold standard. Contact me, Jeffrey Bennett at Kettle Moraine Limited, by calling our phone number at 602-799-8214. That's 602-799-8214.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
What I hate is most folks don't seem to care. What I hate is looking up and seeing chemtrails in a clear blue sky today. What I hate is hitting roadblocks on a highway in my way. And what I live for is a chance to change and be everything I can be. What I love is someone bright enough to see. What I hate is what I hate, and always will.
Oh, welcome back. You know, it's interesting. This program has taken on different overall directions than I expected it to. And I'm not complaining. These are things that we've not covered. Last week we did very special programs up both Wednesday and Thursday. I've not done the health program for several weeks. We will be doing one tomorrow. Very intense cancer and other health-related issues that are worth discussing, including some interesting things that I've come across that may or may not relate to my own situation. But there are those of us out there who are facing certain issues, so we're going to be discussing some of them tomorrow. But a lot of these headlines I've not shared, I've not talked about. I don't use this program as a constant commercialization situation, as you know. Our website, Sierra Madre Precious Metals, that's not the name of my company, that's the name of the website. Taking a look at some things shortly. Before going on the air, gold at that time was sitting at 23.16. 65, I think it's currently 23.1704, so it's up just a hair. Silver currently sitting at about 27.31, 27.29. Those are legitimate numbers. You go to some sites and they've got the silver and gold spot figures jacked up higher than they are, and of course they base their pricing on that. Couple of different products that I've been doing a lot with over the last 5 or 6 months are not the only products that I have available. I mean, if you want to talk about 1 ounce gold bars or silver bars or various different silver rounds or the Valcombi breakable bars, I've got access to things like Krugerrands and Maple Leafs and a wide range of other 1 ounce gold coins or smaller variations. What's been interesting is this whole Valcombi thing, this 1 ounce bar that breaks into 10 one-tenth ounce bars. And I always go take a look to see what other people are doing, and they typically are higher than I am. And I've got some shipping costs. I basically absorb the wiring costs but the 1 ounce Valcombi bar is currently going for about $2,562 each. And silver rounds in the Buffaloes, I've got a little bit of a range because depending on how much you're interested in purchasing, if you got to get one or two rolls, I pretty much got to go to a local guy. I get a better price with my big guy, but by the time we add the shipping costs in and stuff like that, maybe sometimes the local guy comes better. But presently, rolls of 1 ounce Buffalo rounds, and it's not to say that we may not have access to other brands as well, but the Buffaloes seem to be unbelievably recognizable. They're doing stuff all over the country. We're probably looking at price ranges between $610 a roll up to $625 a roll. But those are rough estimates. We may get some possibly lower pricing. A lot of it just comes down to how many rolls you're looking at buying. Not uncommon for me to do 4 to 5 rolls. Sometimes I get people order 20 rolls. It just depends on what you can afford given the economic situation we're living in this country today. So if I can be of assistance, if you've got stuff and you're needing to raise funds and you need to sell some of your gold and silver assets, do give me a call on that as well. I certainly can assist in that. We can move things very quickly. We can get funds in your hands very quickly. It's what we're facing in this nation today. It's absolutely unbelievable. And then I start reading this unbelievably stupid headline. Well, the U.S. government can't go bankrupt because we can print our own money. This is a documentary released recently called Finding the Money. And it's done by a guy named Jared Bernstein, the chair of the Council on Economic Advisors, a key advisor to the Biden on economic policy. And he makes these unbelievable controversial comments about the U.S. government's ability to print money. This guy's unreal. Oh, the government definitely prints money, and it definitely lends that money, which is why the government definitely prints money, and then it lends that money by selling bonds. Is that what they do? Yeah, they sell bonds. They sell bonds, right, because they sell bonds and people buy the bonds and lend them the money. What? They're lending us money to buy the bonds that they print, that they sell. This is insane. This is the kind of absolute pure insanity we come across. Once again, the reference to Myron Fagan in this very intense article, The Illuminati and the Council on Foreign Relations. I will share with you, for those of you who tuned in and were able to pick up on a certain amount of what I shared live, to read it is one thing. A lot of people are not going to take 2.5, almost 3 hours to read that piece. Go to Federal Observer, click on the link, Fagan, the Illuminati, and the Council on Foreign Relations. Scroll all the way to the bottom of the article. You are going to learn the truth about how this nation got into the economic problems it is in, and it was all by design. But it wasn't just this country. It was Russia, it was France, it was Great Britain. It was almost every nation in the world. This was the game plan. This was the scam to take control. All done by one little tiny group of people. And we fell for it, hook, line, and sinker, as so many of these other nations did as well. And now we're facing God knows what. And just before the break, we talked about the bank closure and of Republic First Bank. And if we begin to look at other headlines, we begin to realize that a half a dozen smaller banks are expected to fail in the next 3 weeks. This is the world the regulators live in. Understand the brain that the drain that happened in D.C., everybody looked like other banks, a little bit older, a little bit grayer, and they're gone. It's a bunch of young 30, 40-year-olds who've never lived through a downturn before. They're going to go through this for the first time. They're not going to know how to handle it. These kids don't have the seasoning that some of us old seasoned people have. We've seen it. We've witnessed it. I sit there looking at the dollar. I look at gold. Look at silver. A very unique article came to me last week. What could a dollar buy us in the 1960s? As the years and the decades go by, the impact of inflation has us curious about what our money was worth back in the day. Today it's more difficult to find something to buy with a single dollar, but over 50 years ago you had plenty of choices. Yeah, the list revealed an impressive value difference between the 60s and today. You see, this is one of the things that becomes interesting. It's become interesting to me for so many reasons. I sit there and start looking at this list, which reveals an impressive value difference between the 60s and today. Comics today generally sell for about $4, but back in 61, a comic book went for 10 cents. And that was for the popular ones like DC and Marvel and Archie. And because of the approximate 1 to 10 ratio, virtually every product is 10 times or more expensive today. Every single product. A can of Coca-Cola is about $1.25 today. Back then it was a dime. Well, it's not because the cost of Coke has gone up in reality. It's because the value of the dollar has declined by that much. Other inexpensive items aren't commercially available today through standard mass marketing manufacture. A 12-inch vinyl record album could be bought for 99 cents back in those days. Well, I remember 2.25. Today, vinyl enthusiasts spend 30, 40 bucks than that of a vintage record store, other boutiques. Back in the 1960s, when you had a buck, you had the equivalent purchasing power of approximately $10.55 in 2024. Listen to this. Based on the cents/pound system with a dollar back in the day, you could buy 10 Western apples, where today you generally need a buck or more for a single apple. A pound of Super Right brand bacon, 2 15.5-ounce cans of Iona cut green beans, a pound of chopped beef, 4 pounds of cracked wheat bread, 10 5.5-ounce packages of Kellogg's Rice Krispies cereal, 2 50-pack candy cigarettes, 2 2-ounce jars of Chase and Sanborn instant coffee, a 6-ounce jar of Maxwell House instant coffee for a buck, 4 8-ounce packages of Dannon yogurt, 2 44-ounce cans of V8 juice, 5-pound bag of California oranges, a 5-pound bag of granulated sugar, 1/2 gallon of Linden Farms ice cream, 2 8-ounce jars of Kraft Whiz, Cheese Whiz. Remember that stuff? Cheese Whiz? 2 10-ounce packages of Captain John's flounder filet of fish, 2 2.5-ounce cans of Underwood deviled ham, 4 14-ounces of Ann Page ketchup, 3 2-ounce packages of Nutley margarine. Some of these names I don't recognize. 4 16-ounce packages of Ronzoni macaroni, 33 pounds of U.S. number one onions, 3 11-ounce packages of fresh packed peanut butter, 2 16.5 ounces of Chef Boyardee pizza kits, 15 pounds of sweet potatoes, 3-pound jar of Ann Page preserves, 2 Morton's TV dinners, 5 fast food hamburgers, 1 pound of pork chops, 1 pound of calf liver, 5 pounds of Heckler's flour, 12 eggs, 1 gallon of Linden House sweet cider, 1 quart of Borden's eggnog, 4 large bottles of Canada Dry ginger ale, 3 quarts of orange juice, and 10 12-ounce cans of Coca-Cola. These are the kind of things we could buy back in the day. Household goods, a large container of Tide laundry detergent, 5-pound bag of bird seed, 12 tulip flower bulbs, a large bottle of Halo shampoo, 16 bars of Ivory soap, 8 rolls of Swanee toilet paper, giant-sized tube of toothpaste, 100-count bottle of Bayer aspirin, 3 boxes of tissues, 4 12-ounce containers of Drano drain cleaner, and other things. 1 drive-in movie ticket, 3 gallons of gas, 10 comic book issues, and a 12-inch record album. All for that kind of money. It's profound, people. It's not that the cost has gone up. It's that our ability with the dollar to buy it has gone up. Inflation, deflation, loss of value. And yet something in the U.S. money supply is doing something so rare it's not happened since the Great Depression. I mean, nothing is set in stone over the short run. A select group of predictive indicators and money-based metrics have a remarkable track record of forecasting shifts in the U.S. economy and or the stock market. And one of these tools, which appears to be a forewarning of a big move to come in stocks, is the U.S. money supply. And no one has witnessed the U.S. money supply do this, my friends, in 90 years. 90 years. That's right. And I'm not going to share with you the story. It's too intense. And after a while, it's like, enough is enough is enough. I can't go on. If you go to Sierra Madre Precious Metals, scroll down. It's the top entry in the Double Eagle headlines from May the 6th. U.S. money supply is doing something so rare it has not happened since the Great Depression. If interested, it's well worth the read. Other economics, illegal immigration costing American hospitals billions of dollars in unpaid medical bills. Proposed changes to Medicare and Medicaid could cost thousands of lives. Oh, in many respects, that's an expansion of the piece we shared with you a little earlier. Could cost thousands of lives. That's okay. We're not going to run that piece of music this hour. That's for the second hour closing, honey. Oh, we got something very special we're going to be doing for that second hour. Very unusual piece of music, something we, many of us thought would never be heard again. Some of the other headlines, Americans will lose full Social Security benefits in 11 years, according to the program's trustees. And that's only a year later than expected. Well, frankly, I hope I ain't going to be around in 11 years. That's my personal opinion. Medicare program suddenly ending leaves seniors in limbo. That's kind of an extension of a piece we shared earlier in the hour. Another whole headline, gold and copper only at the beginning of a much longer bull market. Oh, I've been busy. Gold and silver jumped higher today. Once again, no one knows why. Like the story about the woman who had found $44,000 missing from her family's bank account. Family member died in a motor vehicle accident and learned the loved one's bank account was drained of $44,000. And let's just be polite and say that they caught the porch monkey that did the deal. Whether they got the money back or not, I haven't even followed. So these are the kind of things we've got published. It's almost too much to fathom. It's almost too much to even care about. It's like you just want to flush it. You want to walk away. But do keep in mind, a portion of your savings, as it were, is well worth taking a look at. Gold should be an important portion of your holdings, if you can afford it. Because keeping in mind, global debt has not been this bad since the Napoleonic Wars. Now that is a profound piece to read. You scroll down, it's under the April 30th Double Eagle headlines. That's a lot to think about. Napoleonic Wars and global debt has not been this bad? Holy moly. It's unreal. Well, it's a lot to fathom. It's a lot to take in. Scares the living hell out of you, that's for sure. Unbelievable. I never honestly thought so many years ago that we would see it get this bad. I don't think any of us did. Look at the cost of education. Look at the cost of what you and I, the taxpayer, are having to pay for our kids and grandkids and people we've never met to get educated. Thanks to Joey giving all this freebie stuff because he's desperately trying to buy votes. That's what he's been instructed to do by Barack Obama. Don't kid yourself. That's what's going on. Here I sit, another year older and deeper in debt, thanks to the government, the insanity that they continue to do. We're going to spend the rest of our lives paying for it, as are our children. My granddaughter, who graduated with 3 degrees and absolutely no debt, because she worked her butt off from the age of 16, happened to work for Starbucks, who had a college program that paid a lot of her stuff. Phenomenal. Just phenomenal. Well, let's go take a break into the hour. I'll be back in a few minutes. We're going to continue on with the general direction of the program, but on a specific topic. Stay with us, my friends. I'll be back.
And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.
Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.